As they get down off the platform, let me just reminisce for just a moment as I was watching the team up here lead us in worship. When we were back in the daycare for a while, I went and bought a bass and learned how to play bass because there wasn't anyone to do it. And even when I learned how to play bass, I'm not sure there was anyone to do it. But just to watch this team up here, and of course we miss Matt. But the Lord brought us Doug and Diane, and just, man, thank you for leading us today, Doug. And he was the first guy to come on and say, man, I can start playing some lead. And now Reuben and Jonathan are here, and man, they just don't hardly skip a beat. And it's just great to have this team up here. Man, it's kind of a weird day. I shared with many of y'all last week that it's kind of my first time to be at home alone while my family's out on mission trip. It's usually been me. I've been the one who I've left for 7 to 10 days. And Ramona asked me today, she said, exactly how did this work? You went on mission trip and I was here with the kids. Now I go on mission trip and take the kids and you're here alone. And I said, well, that's the power of prayer. She told me, she said, they froze last night. It was very cold. They're sleeping on the floor in a church. And she said, so we've got to figure out how to close vents. And I'm sure you remember those times, Wendy and Jolly. I mean, you get to that place, you have no idea. And the first night you go, we got to make some changes around here. They said that they're excited about going out this afternoon. There's 20 of them there. They said the church has already gone out and done some canvassing, and they've already handed out 200 tracts. And so their goal is to get another 800 done today. And so they're going to be encountering a lot of people. But I just wanted you to know so that today when you go and you sit down for your noon meal, for your lunch, pray for our group. Amen? Pray for them. And pray that God will do something amazing. And I know that there are some who would say, well, that's just a lot of wasted time and energy. And there's some probably even in this room that would say, do you really think it's going to make a difference? Do you really think that going and going door to door and walking down the street and handing out the gospel and talking with people, do you really think that it's going to make a difference? I don't know. But neither do you. I don't know if one of those thousand that they're trying to get in touch with, I don't know if they're even going to read the track. I can tell you I've gone down into Brownsville. I used to go there on mission trip when I was a teenager. And I remember as going to a class on Sunday right after lunch. We would go to the church and they would teach us key Spanish phrases to say as we would go across the border. That was when you could actually just go across the border and all was cool. And we would hand out gospel tracts, and the best we could, we would try to witness to them in Spanish. You really don't want to hear me speak Spanish. It's just bad. And some would say, are you doing anything? And many times we'd hand that tract to them, and they'd go, thank you, and they'd go in the back pocket. And later, during the day, we would see them in the gutters on the street. Some of them may have taken them home and thrown them in a corner. But maybe some considered the truth. Maybe some of them read it and maybe went to go seek someone else out to get some answers. And I think there are some questions we need to ask. Number one, should we do this? Should we be about spreading the gospel? Should we be about handing out tracts and flyers and most importantly, through our very words, should we spread the gospel? Another question is, to whom do we spread the gospel? Who do we tell? What type of person? Do we tell our closest friends, our next door neighbor, our coworker, our family members? Do we even tell the gospel to strangers? How do we know if they're ready to hear the gospel? How do we know that? How can we know if the timing is right that that's when we need to spread the gospel? I think these are important questions. And I think what we all need to realize is that it's easier to just not do it. I didn't hear any amens there. That is the easier thing. By the way, when you say amen, you're saying I agree with you. And I think you would agree with me that the easier thing is to not do it. Don't have a burden for people. Just don't do it. Because it's tough to plant seeds. It's tough. It's tough to take care of that seed. That means weeding and watering and fertilizing and pruning. You have to put sweat equity into that. I promise you today, as they are walking along the streets and handing out those tracts, they are putting sweat equity into it. It's hot in Brownsville. And in a word, it's just frustrating at times. It is. It's frustrating to share the gospel at times. Do you not see the culmination there of that part of the curse is working the ground and the weeds and the stuff that we have to deal with? And then you see that same frustration in a spiritual sense as you plant the gospel. But what if I told you that all of those questions, should we spread the gospel, to whom do we spread the gospel, and how do you know if they're ready to hear the gospel, all of those questions can be answered in a simple story. So this morning we're going to read that simple story, and then we're going to begin to unpack it. So I want to pray with you, and then we're going to open God's word to Luke chapter 8. And you may go, aren't you going backwards in Luke? Yes, I am. And I think this is appropriate today considering what our people are doing. So we're going to look at this story again. And chances are, you might not have been here when I did preach it, because that was probably a year ago. So let's look at this simple story, the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8. Let me pray with you, and then we'll read. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that the gospel even exists, because without the gospel, Lord, I wouldn't even acknowledge you. I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't be saved. There would be no hope. And Lord, we're reminded this morning that the gospel is not about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. And Lord, I pray that as we read your word, that Lord, even more, as I preach the word of God, that Lord, that it will not return void. That we will be inspired, that we will, Lord, that we will be encouraged to spread the gospel. That is what our Lord wants us to do. That's what you've told us to do. And that is what our world needs. If the world needs anything from the church, it needs to hear the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that I will not mix words this morning. I pray that this story that is so familiar by so many in this room, Lord, it will ring crystal clear and afresh in their hearts and minds today. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as I read? This is Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up. It withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. He called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Would you please be seated? I doubt you're wondering this, but I'll go ahead and tell you. During the Sunday school time this morning in Brownsville, they are hearing this exact same passage being preached. This sermon, as I wrote it, I emailed it to Matt. And so they are being encouraged this morning as they go out and share the gospel. Who gets the gospel? Who gets the gospel? I'd venture to say that most everyone here is pretty familiar with this story. And there's some very important lessons for us. But I want to point out something before we even jump into this passage. And that is, I hope you listen this morning as Josh and I read to you two passages. One being from the Old Testament, one being from the New Testament. One from Exodus, one from 1 Peter. And there are some things that I wanted you to hear in that. And let me just go ahead and just read a portion of that. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what God said in Exodus. And then in 1 Peter it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies for him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Both of those passages show us very clearly that both Old Testament and New Testament, God is clear about evangelism is important. He created a nation, a holy nation, a priesthood, both Old Testament and New Testament. That was Israel, the nation of Israel, and now it is us, believers. We are holy. We are priests. And by the way, from the very beginning of his covenant with Abraham, what did he tell him? You are going to be a blessing to all the nations. We are to bless the nations with the proclaiming of the gospel. Amen? What else do you think we're going to bless them with? It's the gospel. We can feed them, we can house them, we can clothe them. But if that's all we do as churches and religious organizations, let me just put it that way. If that's all we do, all we've done is made them comfortable on their way to hell. We are to bless them with the gospel. So here's a dose of reality. In every church that's meeting this morning, there are four types of listeners that exist. Every time the gospel has been proclaimed and there's been a gathering of people, these four types of people exist. This is what their hearts, which is, again, is described as the soils. This is what they look like. There are only four possibilities and there aren't any other options. And so there's a cautionary message that's given to the listener, that would be y'all, and the one this morning, which would be me, the sower, the one throwing it out there. For you, you must ask yourself the question this morning, what type of listener are you? What type of soul, what kind of heart do you have this morning? By the way, if you go all the way from verse 12 through verse 15, hearing is what is being talked about. Let me just review it very quickly. In verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then you get to 13, and the ones on the rock are those when they hear. Then you get to verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. And then in verse 15, as for that in the good soil, they are those who hearing. So it's about what are you listening to? How are you hearing the gospel? How do you hear the word of God? For the sower, what do you expect when you preach or teach the gospel? In other words, for me and you, when we go and we proclaim the gospel, when you're teaching in Sunday school, when you're talking with your friends, when you have that opportunity during vacation Bible schools, and any time that you're with a group, what do you expect when you proclaim the gospel? Some believe, well, there was no response, so it was useless. No, that's not what it's talking about here. What do you expect? Do I expect every Sunday morning for the front to be filled with people who all proclaim, now we believe in Jesus Christ? That's not the picture that's given here. But not only are there four types of listeners, I want you to understand that there are only two types of people that are presented here. Four types of listeners, but only two types of people. Two types of people. And that is, there are those who are saved, and there are those who are not. That's what I believe. That's what Scripture presents. There's no one in between. You're either saved or you're not. So as we begin to unpack this, let's look at some of the symbolism, because it's really very simple. I don't really have to show it to you. You ought to see it right there. Jesus tells them specifically, this is what this means. So when you start looking at symbolism, you see very quickly the seed is the gospel or the word of God. He tells us that right there. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. I don't get genius status for figuring that out. It's right there. The seed is the word of God. So you know what that is. Well, what else is in this story? Well, you have the sower. That's the one spreading the word of God. That's the one spreading the gospel. Believers, that's me and you. That's what we ought to be doing. We are to spread the word of God. Amen? We are to spread the word of God. Amen? We're commanded to do that. Go and make disciples. Baptizing them. Teaching them. We're to spread the word of God. And here's what I want you to see. When you look at this particular category, these two, these don't change. The gospel never changes. And believers, our job here, our mission here does not change. We spread the gospel. Those don't change. But then there's some other symbolism that's going on, which is the soil. This is the heart of the listener. This describes those who are listening. And then we're given four different types of soil, four different types of hearts of the people. So the symbolism here isn't my interpretation. You can't say, well, that pastor, he interpreted that way. No, no, no. This is exactly what Jesus told us. This is exactly what he meant when he told this parable. So what do we begin doing? We begin looking at, if those don't change, we don't really need to go into a lot of investigation of what the gospel is. You hear the gospel every Sunday. The gospel is Jesus Christ. We don't need to study that. We don't need to study what do believers do. You spread the gospel. But what about these four soils? What about those four? How do we know if we are right in giving them the gospel? Who gets the gospel? Well, soil number one is really, it's a no-brainer. These are people who are unsaved. And by the way, a lot of times when you're going to talk about different issues, it's best, and I don't know how you handle your meetings, but a lot of times if there's something very simple, I try to do that first. Because if there's going to be controversy, if there's going to be discussion, let's put that at the end of the meeting so that we can do that toward the end. But I want to go ahead, those things that we know, this is true, we're going to just go with this. Let's just put that right at the front of the meeting. We just check those off very quickly. So I'm actually going to look at soil number one and soil number four first. And then we'll go back to two and three. Soil number one are those who are unsaved. Their hearts are hard and it's beaten down like a beaten down path. I don't really need to explain that to many of you. You know exactly what that is. When I was growing up, I worked on a farm. On the weekends, I would go with Dr. German and Greg German. And I say I worked on the farm. It was like 25% work, 75% play. It was about fishing, riding motorcycles. By the way, at that time, you could own a three-wheeler. They hadn't been outlawed yet. And we would go and ride those motorcycles and three-wheelers along the same path over and over again. And guess what? Nothing grew on it. Nothing. It had been beaten down. There were weeds growing up all around it, but not on that path. We could go there. You could be gone a week and come back. That path would still be right there. You could be gone a month and come back. That path would be right there. It had just been beaten down. There was just nothing growing on it. And that's what he says, that some of the seed falls on those paths. And the seed gets to that path, it gets thrown there, and it just sits on top. And if that wasn't bad enough, it said that the birds would come and devour it. And he said, well, the birds aren't really birds. That's Satan. And he comes and takes it from you. If you don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. Satan is working against you right now. Right now. Right here in this very church, Satan is working against you. Satan is always active. to cause destruction and pain and suffering. And my friend, listen to me. Even now, as the gospel is being proclaimed, he's going, I'm going to take it from you before you even have a chance to dwell on it. It's amazing. We listen to news reports. We listen to lectures. I mean, y'all go to school and you have to listen to teacher after teacher after teacher tell you information after information after information. We listen to presentations. Guys and ladies, you go to meetings at work and you listen and listen and you have to recall those things and you have to be able to give those things back on test. You can quote me movie lines. I do the same thing all the time. Someone will say something. I can quote you from a movie I saw 10 years ago. I can tell you comedic lines that I've heard. I can tell you lines of seriousness that I heard. You can quote me phrases out of books that you read. We know all of those things. And yet, for unbelievers, many times you cannot even come to the, you can't even give me the least little bit of what was said the last time you came to church. Because it has been taken from you. You know what's amazing is I may not be as dull as you think. It's just that Satan's not giving you even a chance because he's taken it from you. But no matter what, even if that's you this morning, listen to me. I preach the gospel. I preach it anyway. Jesus Christ is the gospel. Well, soil number four. Believe it or not, that's a no-brainer too. That's the person who is saved. There's fruit in their life. They bear fruit. That's what it says right here. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Don't forget that patience part. We're going to talk about that just for a moment. I find it amazing that those people who say, I'm a believer, but I don't necessarily believe that you ought to go out and pass out gospel tracts and do door-to-door evangelism. And I never filled out that 4x4 card. That's not really my thing. I find it amazing that they diss all of those things about evangelism and spreading the gospel. And that's really not important in their life. That, you know, maybe you have that gift, but that's not necessarily my gift. My friend, that is a command for all believers. And I find it amazing that when people say those things, usually my question back is, can you tell me the last time, the last time you ever shared the gospel? And I don't mean, oh yeah, I go to Summer Creek Baptist Church. Oh yeah, I own a Bible. And oh yeah, I read the Bible. When was the last time you ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ? To what friend? To what family member? To what stranger? Don't get me wrong. I realize that some people are more gifted. I'm never going to be Billy Graham. People are not going to fill stadiums to hear me preach. I'm not sure you're aware of this, but 90% of Southern Baptist churches are less than 100 people. So that means 90% of Southern Baptist pastors today are meeting in a room like we used to meet at the daycare, and they're still proclaiming the gospel. In Matthew and Mark, it tells us that some bear 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. I may not lead stadiums to the Lord, but I am to preach the gospel, and so are you. Even if it's only your son or your daughter that you lead to the Lord. Listen, I may not lead thousands to the Lord, but who knows? I may lead the one who leads thousands to the Lord. You know, it's disheartening how quickly we just think, it's just not my thing. You know, it says here that the good soul are those who hold it fast, who hear the word of God and hold it fast to their heart. And I just find it amazing that so quickly we place other authors and literatures, and we talk about series that we read and everything, but yet the Bible is kind of the last thing that we pick up. Maybe you read it between books. And perhaps that's the reason that we don't share the gospel, because we don't know it. We're afraid. Well, what if they ask a question that I don't know? Tell them you don't know. You'll get back with them later. That's what I say. I don't know. I don't have this memorized. I don't know it all. And by the way, I cannot know it all. I worship an infinite God, and I'm finite. And some questions are harder than others. But it doesn't mean that you cower in fear and say, well, I'm not going to share the gospel because I don't know what to say. Trust in the Lord. He will give you the words. And if the person, if God is working on their heart, they will be patient, and you have to be patient. I'll tell you, there are some in here that you look at opportunities to share the gospel. And I love that as a believer, Douglas, I can't help but listen to you teaching when I come in here and you're talking about joy. It brings me joy when I know I'm being obedient to what God has called me to do and I'm sharing the gospel. Man, you want to experience joy? Share the gospel, not knowing if you can answer all the questions, and just say, I depend on God. Donnie Lee, my youth minister, led me to the Lord when I was in seventh grade. When I go home, usually what I try to do is I'm so grateful for what God has brought me through and the people that he put in my life, even as a teenager. And I recently, and I may have shared this story with some of you, I got to go spend some time with Donnie and just tell him how much I appreciated him, how patient he was with me. I know I looked like a very worldly teenager at times. I know I look like that. And I just told Donnie, just thank you for being patient with me. And see, Donnie, we were just at this small youth camp. There was probably only about 20 of us that went. And man, a youth minister of 20 youth. I mean, who wants to be that? Why not be a youth minister of 50 youth or 100 youth or 5,000 youth? Why only 15 or 20? But what Donnie didn't know at the time is that he kept preaching the gospel. And I just wanted to share with Donnie that his fruit is not just me, but what he did has caused there to be fruit in Mexico, in Arizona, in Houston, in Kingwood, in Summerwood, in Poland. You see, it's because of what he kept doing, preaching the gospel, that he led me to the Lord, and now I have led people to the Lord in those countries, in this city, and in this community. Some of you, you'll see Donnie in heaven. And you'll be able to say, thank you for investing in Paul Lyle, because Paul Lyle told me the gospel. Because you told him the gospel. His ministry goes much further than what he ever thought. When you share the gospel, be patient and press on. You will not see results right away. And by the way, what we're about to see is even if you do, that's not necessarily means that they receive the gospel. So the first soil and the fourth soil, those are pretty much no-brainers. But then you get to the soil 2 and 3, and that's where there's some controversy. There seems to be a divide. Some would say that, oh yeah, soil 2 and 3, those are people who are saved. They just experienced what salvation was, how it played out in their life differently than the fourth soil. And I'm here to tell you that I disagree with that. And there's reasons that I disagree with that. First of all, I told you I worked on a farm. It was an Angus farm. It wasn't, so, you know, we raised cows. We didn't raise crops. But what I'm about to tell you about farming, all of you know, It's not a farming secret, but you would know this to be true. It doesn't matter if a crop has a stem and it pokes through the ground. It doesn't matter if it has leaves that are very full and very green. What matters when you raise a crop? And there's only one thing that matters, the fruit. That's what you're going after. You know, I don't eat vegetables that much. I've tried them. I don't like them. And I'm 44 and I don't have to eat them now. But for some reason, I do like, and some of you are going to go, that's the vegetable you like. I like radishes. Exactly. You're like, you're sick, man. I tell people, I like corn and potatoes. They're like, that's not a vegetable. But I like radishes. And I remember growing up, we had a big garden in our backyard. And my parents would be so excited because they'd have tomatoes and okra and all the things that I would not eat. And so my mom decided one time, look, I'm going to give you a row in the garden and you can plant radishes. I was like, great. That means I get something out of this. And she said, but that's your row. You've got to weed it. You've got to water it. You've got to take care of it. And then you get the fruit from that. Okay. So I did. I planted them. I watered them. I took care. I made sure the weeds were out of that. No matter what was going on in the rest of the garden, that was my row. And came time for harvest time. And I'm telling you, these things look great. I mean, there was this huge green leaves coming up out of the ground, and I couldn't wait, and I pulled them up, and these radishes were like tiny. That was the last time I planted radishes. Because that's really what mattered. It didn't matter what was all above the ground and how pretty it looked and how healthy it looked. It was the fruit. That's what I was after. Does it reach full maturity and produce fruit? There's another reason that I disagree with those who would say, oh yeah, 2 and 3, they're saved. Their salvation just looks different. Is that there's nothing in the language, there's nothing in the Greek that would tend to lead us to believe that the second and third type of hearers are true disciples. For us believers who are sharing the gospel, we can't tell the difference between the soils 2 and 4. And I'm just talking about a visual. You can tell, I told you, when I would go driving on the trails at the farm, I could tell that's the path. But there's no way I could tell whether or not the soil off of that path was good or not good. It had plants and weeds and everything seemed to be growing all up around that. There's no way I could tell that. We can't possibly know if someone's heart is ready for the gospel. We are simply supposed to spread it. The heart is not the issue we're responsible for. We're just supposed to tell them the gospel. Even those that we can tell, they're hard. Man, maybe they're very vocal. You will never see me in church. I don't believe in what you believe. That's just the way it is. I have had a neighbor who's told me, you'll never see me in church. Great, let me tell you the gospel. If you're not going to come to church here, I got to tell you 101. So soil number two. These are people who hear the good news and receive it with joy. There's even joy there. We've all witnessed people who've come forward at church or at a camp or a retreat, and they're so excited, they may weep, and they're just so happy. But listen to me. That does not prove salvation. Just because they have joy, and just because they're going, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that does not mean that they are saved. I've experienced this over and over as a minister. I'll have a parent who will come in and they'll say, Paul, especially I saw this in youth ministry so much. Paul, I remember back when my child was in eighth grade and they went to youth camp and they were so excited about what they learned at youth camp and they came back and they couldn't wait to tell us everything that happened at youth camp. They loved the pranking part of it. They loved the fun part of it and they loved the serious part of it and they just learned so much and it was just the greatest thing. But now something's different. And I want you to understand that those parents who came and talked to me, it's not because I as a minister went to them and said, I'm seeing something different about your child. They came to me because they saw something different. They saw what came back from youth camp, what came back from revival, what came back from church that day does not line up with who they are now. And they will say, can you for sure know that my son or my daughter, you were there. Do you know if they were saved or not? And I don't know their heart. What I do know is there is soil, there are hearts that proclaim one thing for a season, for a time, and then they fall away. We're told in Scripture that part of that is so that we will know that they were never one of us. That's a harsh reality. I also listened to comments during Douglas's class, and I think you're right, Alex. I think you preach the gospel to yourself every day. You keep going over it. You remind yourself who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Because listen to me, there is a massive difference between a decision that involves emotion and an emotional decision. Massive difference. But here's the deal. You and I can't tell the difference just on the outside. It looks exactly the same. So some of you may be thinking, you got to know when the timing's just right. I mean, when their heart is really receptive, and man, they you can tell that they're ready to hear it, and then you preach the gospel, and they spring up with joy, and then you go, there you go, I've done it, and now it's, but you don't know. It says, with patience. With patience. You see, there are times of testing that will come, and if it's just an emotional decision, you'll fall away. Testing is tough. I mean, I know you guys, you students, especially high school students, you know this. Man, you'll hear the teacher say something, they'll give you a lecture, and you're going, I know this, I know this, I know this. Yep, I got this, no problem, got this. I know this stuff. And then you get to the test, and you're like, what in the world is that? Did she even say that word? And y'all are all like, how does he know that? Because I've been there. And you don't study it, and you think, I know it. But when times of testing comes, you don't. My friend, the same thing happens in life. Oh, yeah, I got this church thing. I know Jesus Christ. It's all good. I got my Lord and Savior. Boom, testing comes. Who is God? I can't focus on God right now. I got stuff I got to do. And here's the deal. Paul writes to the Galatians. I mean, right now, some of you are thinking that testing is only your life is on the line. Man, will you deny the gospel if it's the difference between life and death? But Paul tells the Galatians that the problem there, when they're denying the gospel, has nothing to do with life and death. Do you know why they're abandoning the gospel? Because of another gospel. Another good news. You don't need to put your faith in Christ. You just need to be a good person. You don't need to put your faith in Christ. You just need to take care of your family and do what's right for you. That's another gospel. Which Paul says is no gospel at all. So don't think that, oh, well, as long as there's not tough times of persecution and tough times where may be where I abandon the gospel. Oh, my friend, we abandon the gospel for so much less than that. We abandon the gospel just for another gospel. I've already told you that it's clear that the good soil are those who hold fast and they bear fruit with much patience. Salvation, you've heard me say this over and over. Salvation is free. Sanctification, discipleship, what does that cost? Everything. Everything. Man, I can keep preaching because you're not going anywhere. Good night. So how do I know if the person is ready for the gospel? How do I know if they're just the third soil, the rock? And by the way, and most of you may be thinking that it's actually a rock and someone puts a seed on a rock. That's not what they're talking about. In Israel, a lot of times the bedrock was right under just a surface soil. So it looked the same on top. Couldn't tell the difference. But there was no place for the root to go. So there's no moisture. When times of testing, what do you think times of testing for a crop is? Drought. And there's no moisture. There's no root system there to gain the moisture. So there's drought. And guess what? They wither and die away. Same thing here. What happens when drought comes? What happens when you are like David and you're going, where are you, God? Do you stay true? Just because your perception, and where's God? But yet, I'm telling you, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Sorry, that was soil number two. Soil number three. Three on the list, two on Jesus' list. Soil number three. That's for those who are listening to the recording. They're going, I'm so confused by what you just said. Third soil. And that is this group here, filled with weeds. If there's ever a type of soil that I would say describes us as Americans, this is it. Notice that when the seed is planted, when it's planted, that there are no weeds there. But the weeds, it tells us in Scripture, it grows up with it. It grows up with it. I mean, you and I both know that the responsibilities of a 44-year-old are much different than the responsibilities that I had as a 13-year-old. And the cares and the troubles of this life have grown up with me. And the question is, do I begin to turn to those? Does that choke the life out of me? We are certainly people who are choked by the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. Our whole thought process, and we're told this, we're taught this, is a good education, a good job, good money, nice things, prepare for retirement. Once we obtain all these things, what do we have to do? We have to do upkeep. I've already, you know, my family's gone for a week. I already have my Lowe's list going. Things that I'm going to get done, that because I've got to take care of that house that I'm in now. So upkeep for all these things. I mean, we got to do all of that. And then, I mean, think about where we spend our time. On the internet, the average teenager spends 34 hours a week. That's almost a full-time job on the internet. 34 hours a week. We follow sports teams and fashion trends, TV dramas, reality shows. We play video games, keep up with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We got to keep up with all those things. Man, Satan is good about going, let me just throw some more weeds in here and just go ahead and just fill you up with the cares and the desires of this world. And by the way, parents, those of you who are going, oh, no, I don't do Facebook and I don't do Instagram and I don't do Twitter and I'm not on the internet. No. Yeah, you may not be doing those things. You're just the one supplying the kids with all of those things, and that's keeping you busy right there. You're the ones taking your kids to every extracurricular event that you could possibly think of. That is constantly a struggle in our house. And I'm telling you, it is Ramona and I talking about what can we do, what can't we do. Because we cannot allow this world to overtake our lives and choke the life out of us. Amen? Parents, your children are not the best at everything. I know that just blows your mind. But when every coach tells you that they should letter in every sport, and then you begin to believe that, just remember there is some motivation there when they go, and that will cost X amount of dollars. So there are some here that earlier in life you made a prayer, and it was a very emotional prayer, and you thought, man, I'm here. I'm sold out for the Lord. But now the cares of this world have grown up. And you're only here this morning because someone forced you to come, because you feel like it's the right thing to do. But listen to me. No matter, I'm sharing the gospel with you. Man, it's sobering to think that when Jesus began to describe these four soils, three out of the four are not good soils. I listen to missionaries talk about how many people they share the gospel with before someone truly is a believer. William Carey, who is the father of all modern missions, went 7 years on the mission field, 7 years before one person said, I believe. And yet he was spreading the gospel and spreading the gospel and spreading the gospel. We cannot be weary of spreading the gospel, church. We are a church that believes in evangelism. Amen? Please tell me that you're there with me. Because if you don't believe that, this is not the church for you. pretty soon here in about a month, we're going to have a challenge of our own where we will go door to door and put flyers on doors that will tell people about our church, and on the flyer will be the gospel. Some of you, you may say, it's too hot. I have little children. I've got things to do tomorrow. And I'm going to challenge you. Come and help us spread the gospel. There was a time when we used to go door to door here in Summerwood. And Joel was on that team. And Kevin Nance and Douglas, I know you went and did that. And we realized that in our neighborhood in Summerwood, going door to door, knocking on doors, not a good thing. Now, especially that you have the Summerwood Crime Watch page on Facebook. And you'll see, oh yeah, missionaries coming through the neighborhood. Be sure and lock your doors and tell them you're not interested. So we're just going to find out another way to do it. And that means we'll just leave flyers on the doors. Perhaps they'll show up. And here's what I'm telling you. If they come to church, they're going to hear the gospel. We're never going to be a church that I'm not going to preach the gospel on Sunday morning. So we'll invite them to church. There's a phone number there. They may call, but we're going to present the gospel. Paige Patterson is the president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And listen to what he has said before. He's on record of saying, and I've heard him preach many times, even at the seminary. Now think about it. A seminary full of men and women who are saying, we are called to the gospel ministry, and we're going to go on missions, and we're going to be pastors, and we're going to be on staff. We've been called to be ministers. And every single time that Paige Patterson preaches to a group of seminarians, do you know what he does? Presents the gospel. He said, I do not assume that just because you're in seminary that you know Jesus Christ. I am not going to assume that just because you came to church today that you know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. You are a rebel against God. Your very thoughts rebel against God. Your very actions follow those thoughts as you rebel against God. Not only do you do that, I do that. Sin is rampant in the world, and part of the problem with this entire planet is Paul Lyle, and part of the problem is you. But through Jesus Christ, we have been given grace and mercy, and salvation can come if you simply put your faith in Christ and say, it's not about me, it's about your righteousness, and you died for me, and I believe and put my faith in you. That's the gospel. Church, I want to challenge you. Preach the gospel. Amen? I'm telling you, and I know they're probably tired of being used as examples. Josh and Tony, when they sent me that email and said, would you come to my house? Would you tell me about what you believe? I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I walked into that home, I was not leaving until I shared the gospel. I didn't care if they were ready for it. I didn't care if they asked for it. Nothing was going to deter me. I was going to share the gospel. That may be the last time that I would see them. They may say, I don't want that, but I was going to fulfill my responsibility. You need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. JD and Lisa, same thing. As soon as I went into their house and they said, by the way, you know we're Mormon, right? Immediately what came out of my mouth is, you know you're not saved. So let me tell you the gospel. We must spread the gospel. Andrew and Charity. Now, I know Charity's on mission trip right now. Andrew's in the back. You remember, Andrew, I came to your house. I shared the gospel. I was concerned. I left there that night, and I thought I was unclear on some things. So the next night, which was Wednesday night, I went to prayer meeting, and I said, I've got to get back in touch with them because I'm not sure I presented the gospel correctly. I'm not sure they understood exactly what I was saying. So I called Charity and I said, look, I've got to get kids from youth group. I got to get them back home. And nothing worked out that night. It was 9:30 at night and I called them back and I said, can I still come over? I've got something I've got to share with you. And I went over there and I said, I need you to understand the gospel. Ramona recently went to go have coffee with a lady who called her up and said, look, I want to talk to you. I just want to know about your family's life. And Ramona said, I knew when I was going to Starbucks, I wasn't leaving until I shared the gospel. Let us be that intentional about sharing the gospel. It is the only hope, y'all. That's Texan for you right there. I want to warn you this morning. Please listen to me. If there is no fruit in your life, I have no words of comfort for you. Neither does Jesus. Just because you made a prayer 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. What matters is God alive and active in your life, and are you passionate about it? And you want to tell people about who Jesus Christ is. If you're going, I don't want to tell anyone. You've got to go home and ask yourself the question, why? Why do I not want to tell anyone about Christ? I think that's a very valid question, don't you? Are you good soil? If you're not, you need to repent and turn to the Lord. If you are, my friend, you're a believer, and we need to be casting seed. We need to be throwing the gospel out everywhere. And where it lands, that's up to the Lord. And what happens to it, that's up to the Lord. But we need to be casting seed. This morning, as we come to a time of invitation, I'm going to ask you, what soil are you? Are you hard to this gospel message? Did you receive it at one time and it was exciting, but now not so much? Have the cares of this world just choked that life right out of you? Or are you good soil? What is the Lord calling you to do this morning? Perhaps members, you know what? It's been too long since you've shared the gospel. The altar is going to be open. You can come pray. You can come pray for our team that's sharing it this afternoon. What is the Lord calling you to do? You got to deal with Him. That's what the invitation is about. You responding. Don't leave to go pick up your children. Don't leave because you want to go ahead and get to your car because the restaurants may be full. They probably will be. But you deal with the Lord this morning. Let's pray.